This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from the National Business Aviation Association Convention in Orlando, Florida. I'm speaking with Jens C. Henning, who is Vice President of Operations for Gamma. Jens, you've just spent a lot of intense time working on a committee to resolve some difficulties in ADS-B. ADS-B is the part of the next generation system of air traffic control, and Datalink has been kind of jammed up due to arguments over technical standards. Where are we with that? It looks like we're in sight of having a solution.
Well, on request from industry, the FAA really formed this rulemaking committee that's been in the works for the past year and a half to address the concerns that were really coming into place when we knew that the program was rolling out. The FAA had developed a lot of the issues, a lot of the program details, without direct industry input. So when the rule was about to come out, industry pulled together through the ATMEG and said you would be very well served to form this rulemaking committee and have an opportunity to listen to industry on how can we make the tweaks. And I think everybody in the industry are embracing ADS-B as part of the next-gen system. But if you read through the comments that we received, about 1,400 or so that went into the docket, there were a lot of details that really needed to be worked out. And, you know, there was a team of us with 15 people, about another 50 people that were subject matter experts that really went in and provided the FAA with close to 70 different comments as to what they can do to really address the concerns when it comes to cost and performance of the future system.
Explain, if you will, the disagreement over the broadcast standard that would finally be used.
Well, this is one of the key concerns that obviously comes up. From the manufacturer's perspective, we need to know exactly what the requirements are going to be. You're not going to see any of the key programs really being kicked off until the FAA comes out and in firm language says this is the standard. From the ARC's perspective, we're going to make an allowance for some of the current equipment to continue to exist until the mandate goes into place, which is right now 2020.
By current equipment, you mean current ADS-B equipment?
Current ADS-B equipment, the DO-260 that a lot of airliners have, some of the business aircraft have. And what we're seeing happening after 2020 is that we're going to embrace a new standard. And if you look from the ARC's perspective, it's what's being referred to as RTCA standard DO-260A change 3. That's really what everybody's embracing. It looks like it's going to have the capabilities that we're all looking for.
And specifically, what does that standard describe?
It provides the technical standard for the equipment specifically. On top of that, you're going to see very targeted recommendations as to what you need to do on the GPS side. ADS-B is a satellite-based system that, like you've heard the FAA speak to very many times, and the original rule that the FAA proposed said you have to have WAS. WAS is a requirement, and that was probably one of the issues that received the most comments from the community, because WAS is obviously not everywhere. It's not really adopted widely in the airline industry. So we've come in and said, nope, you need to change this. If you want to have the performance that you're looking for, here's how you can make some changes to have a GPS system that is relying on SAOff. So, you know, we're embracing the policy that came out of the White House, and it will prevent the airlines from having to take this leap over to WAS. And I think that really address a lot of the cost and the standards concerns that really came out in the MRM process.
And what specifically will that mean operationally? We'll get to operationally in a moment. What will that mean for manufacturers? For example, Garmin now is for general aviation aircraft is the leading manufacturer, really the only manufacturer of ADS-B equipment, the GDO-90. How will that box look different under these new standards?
Well, actually, 1090 is completely high-end aviation, high-altitude aviation. It's the international standard. It's what airliners, a lot of business aircraft use. Garmin's, of course, is the player when it comes to UAT, which was described in the MPRM as the GA ADS-B standard. We didn't really make too many changes to that. The 282A standard that's out there for general aviation is very good. It actually has a lot of features to it that are better, for lack of better terms, than what you see in 1090. So it's probably not going to change too much on the equipment if you look at a UAT standard being part of the future.
Obviously, one of the concerns is to have a wide enough bandwidth to transmit all the data we're talking about, which is traffic, it's weather, it's cockpit data link. Has that been resolved to your satisfaction?
I think so. One of the first recommendations that the ARC embraced already back in June, and we started working with the FAA on what they needed to do, is to ensure that the dual link decision that was made about 6 years ago by the United States is really the one that we should move
And you should probably explain that dual link.
The dual link is, general aviation being built around UAT mm-hmm. and a 282 system, and airlines flying with a 1090 system instead.
And the concern would be that the ground stations are capable of both.
Yeah, the good news is the ITCT system that's being rolled out, the contract that they're embracing, that they've proposed to the FAA, it has both links. What we're saying to the FAA and the ARC report is, before you roll out with a final rule that says this is the future for ADS-B in the United States, let's really make sure that what we've learned in the past 6 years since this decision was made was the right one. And the concern is more on the airline side than it is on the GA side, because there's a part of the community that is concerned that the 1090 spectrum is facing some frequency congestion in the future. We have a secondary surveillance radars on the 1090 frequency. We have TCAS interrogations, and we're now adding ADS-B. Is that system really going to be able to? Is that frequency really going to be able to handle that?
And the bandwidth is not that wide to begin with, is it?
It's already pretty busy. It's a frequency with lots of stuff on both sides of it. Well, of course, UAT has some advantages that it's a pretty clean frequency right now. So we're asking the FAA by January, take a look at this so that when you go final with this rule, start working within the agency, we know that this decision is the right one.
So where to from here? If we're looking for a final rule and possibly to get more manufacturers involved to bring the price down for all sizes of GA aircraft, when would you expect that to happen?
What you see with a lot of the manufacturers is that we sit tight until we really know that the standard is ready, the FAA is firm. We don't want to have a couple of false starts with this system. So we'll sit tight. We've been very engaged from the Gamma membership within the ARC. Basically, all of our avionics manufacturers are on board, a couple of our airframe manufacturers. But we're just going to sit tight and watch very carefully until the final rule comes out, which the FAA has scheduled for April 2010. When we know in writing that the FAA is going to do whatever it is that it decides to do based on the MPRM, based on the comments, based on what the ARC said, you'll really probably see the floodgates open and the manufacturers moving forward with their ADS-B programs.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the update.
Sure. It's my pleasure.
We've been talking with Jens Henning, Vice President of Operations for the General Aviation Manufacturers Association. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from the National Business Aviation Association in Orlando, Florida. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.